in verse 28, Matthew 11, verse 28. What I found since I've gone mostly bald is that when I sweat, it seems like it feels like sweat out of my eyes. And so I miss my hair. My hair kept some of that in there. And now when I get real hot, it frizzes, and I look like one of those racer heads that you put on there, a troll. And so anybody puts a meme of me on there, I'm looking at you, Jonathan, I will find you. I will find you. Would you, if you're willing and able, one more time to honor God's word, stand with us as we read it together. If you're willing and able, it'll be the last time I ask you to stand for a while. Verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Some of you in your Bible app, got a little asterisk there beside of meek. It can also be translated as gentle or kind. I am kind. I am gentle and lowly. Lowly can be translated as kind. For my yoke is easy, verse 30, and my burden is light. Would you remain standing? Let's pray together. Father, front to back, left to right, those that are new here, those that have been here many times, folks that, Lord, have a kind invitation from a neighbor or a coworker or a family friend. Thank you. Thank you that days like today we get to love on our neighbors. So thank you, Lord, for these folks allowing us to treat them as greatly privileged guests. But Lord, for these moments, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, we need hospitality, but that's not our greatest need. We need validation. That's not our greatest need. We need friendship. That's not our greatest need. Our greatest need is to be right with you. And so I pray wherever this passage, this message lands in their lives, that they would hear, understand, and obey. Thank you for what you want to do. Spirit of God, use me and control me, I pray. I pray that you would preach on the inside while I'm speaking on the outside. And I pray you'd help us. Help us to hear. Help us to understand. More than that, help us to obey. I pray it in your son's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. Be seated. If you didn't get a piece of paper, maybe a handout as you came in, I would encourage you, you can go online on your phone, hardinvalleychurch.com/app, and it'll pull it up. You can just download it. It's a free app, and you can just click on the notes. You can follow along that way if you're more techie, digital. I need a little bit of audience feedback here. Miss Joy, you're retired, so I don't know if you can participate or not since I'm going to be talking about here. But I just was curious. Anybody here ever experienced stress? You've been stressed, de-stressed, unbelievably, overwhelmingly stressed? We'll just start over here with this crowd. Anybody? Joy, you can participate if you want to. But anybody over here ever been stressed? Been stressed? Now, don't do this. Don't point at the people around you, all right? And point your hand up, not at them, all right? Because if everybody points at Doreen, she's going to be mad. Anybody in this section been stressed? Anybody, all right? All right? Just about the same number of people who ate donuts. I don't believe you. Anybody right here have been stressed? Like, some of you are like, yes. And that's a little better. And Brandon's got everything up over there. Yeah, you got a few things stressed over here, stressed over here. They say that ministry is stressful. Say that ministry is stressful, but I don't believe it. I'm 35 and I feel great. but it's a little easier on the ladies, I suppose. A little easier on the ladies. So I'm 43 and I feel great. Anybody ever seen those on social media or something like that? I mean, you're like, that's not funny. I put it up there, so it's okay. It's okay. We're talking about stress. You can just put my notes up there, guys. Thank you so much. Make sure the recording's on and all. Yeah, we're talking about stress. I want to help you. How many of you are interested in what I'm talking about? You'd like to find rest in a stressful world. But I'm a parent. I'm married. I'm married again. I'm married, and I wish I wasn't married. My children, I couldn't wait for them to talk, and now all they do is talk back. And I prayed for a job, and now I wish I was unemployed. On and on it could go. It's a multi-million-dollar, approaching a $1 billion industry right now, just trying to help people sleep. Help people sleep. I said sleep via calm music and those kind of things. There's a $1 billion industry with sleeping aids and stuff. But you can pay, I forget what it is, a month to hear Matthew McConaughey say, all right, all right, all right. in a real soothing voice. And you wake up in the morning speaking in a Texas drawl, and you don't know why. And because he helped you go to sleep. One of the more popular TED Talks out there is someone telling you to put your phone away at 8 o'clock at night instead of laying there in the bed with it, because the blue light keeps you awake, and it's got ever how many millions of YouTube going, oh, that's revolutionary, as they watch it at 2 a.m. Wondering why they can't go to sleep at night. It's on and on. We are just uber stress. I think the business is still going downtown, but an entrepreneur said, if you'll come in, let us give your feet a milk bath. We'll do a 30-minute or an hour, and I'm just sitting there going, at what point does the milk bath turn into cottage cheese? But anyway, that's just the way I think. And, to help you relax, the Walmart, Target people have figured out, Sam's and all, that you sell massagers and neck massagers and heated pads and all those kind of things around the Christmas time, because it's an easy gift, because they're going, you know, my family's just as stressed as they can be, or they will be by the time I leave at the holidays. And so here we are when we're talking about these kind of things. So I ask you, do you know anybody with stress? Anybody? When we're stressed, we're faced with an unexpected situation, the body goes into action. Hearts beat faster, blood pressure increases, adrenaline begins to flow, sight and hearing become sharper, mouth gets dry, palms sweat, muscles are ready for the fight or flight syndrome. My wife and I have been married about 2 months, and it's before we had a queen bed. Somebody gifted us with a king bed. It's made our life so much better, and we were on a full-size, whatever it was, bed. And we got married. We were both 25, got married, and man, from our own beds to one bed, and my wife's a mover and a conqueror, and I'd wake up half on, half off the bed, just glad I was there. And she liked to get up early. She had to get up early. She liked to sing. She liked to play music. And so we did all that number, and she'd watched all these Hallmark movies, and what she would wake me up in the morning, and I would be happy, and she would lean over and kiss me, and I was still used to somebody being in the bed, and she did that again. We'd been married just a little bit, and she leaned over and kissed me, and I was alarmed because I didn't know who was there, because I'm not used to having anybody in the room with me. Nod your head if you remember that, those who've been married a little while. I didn't know what was going on, and so I swung at her. And I barely missed her. And she was offended, and it was a thing. Nod your head if you understand what a thing is. It was a thing the whole day. So the next morning, she leaned over and made kissing noises, but I felt what was a blunt instrument. It was the end of a broom. And so she woke me the next morning. Fool me once, boy. And stress. And stress that's there. Fight or flight. Adrenaline happens. That nickel taste in your mouth. We get to medicine. We get to all kinds of things. There was a story done. USA Today picked it up. This is 05, 06. And it was talking about kiddie camp for adults. California's camp getaway. An adult can participate in sing-alongs, water balloon fights, kickball, s'mores, sneaking out of the cabin to toilet paper the cars. I'm assuming it's your car. And cabins of other campers. Some opt for the increasingly popular rock and roll fantasy camp, where you can jam with real rock musicians. Helen Osing founded the Ultimate Pajama Party, a camp where older women can put on their pajamas, pillow fight, sit on the bed, and share stories late into the night. She said, I started the camp when I realized I worked a lot and didn't have any time to play. Christopher Knoxon wrote a book called Rejuvenating, Kickball, Cartoons, Cupcakes, and the Reinvention of the American Grown-Up. American Grown-Up. More grown-ups are seeking a vacation from their adult side. You know what we call it in 2022? Man, adulting's hard. Life is hard. Man, I am stressed. The ubiquitous man cave, the omnipresent options for people to do. We are struggling, drowning in stress. We are drowning this way. People medicate, people over-medicate, people self-medicate, people jump into drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things. It's awful. They say it like this, and let me help you here. They say there's five C's of stress, and I'm going to get into the text. I just want to really set the stage here. Say there's five of them. Change brings about stress, especially if it's not your idea. Anybody in here, something changed, but you didn't get to vote on it? Man, isn't that annoying? There's change, there's conflict, there's criticism, there's concerns, and there's crisis. Let me just walk through them quickly here with you. There's change. Somebody said, you know, people just don't like change, and that's just not true. People don't like change if it's not their idea. If it's your idea, you're fine, right? You're going, why didn't everybody get on board? This is a good idea. I have laid it out before you. A plus B equals C. A plus C equals B. It's therefore A equals C. And here we go. And we walk through this. But change, conflict. Anybody work anywhere where there's conflict? We don't call it conflict. We call it drama. Drama. How many of you thought of something right then? How many of it's you? And it's just drama. You see the text or the email. The number comes up. Anybody here? I used to, when I taught college, I had a student, and she changed the ringtone for her mother to the Wicked Witch of the West and Wizard of Oz. Dun 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 dun. And I said, does your mother know that? Yeah, she thinks it's not funny. I said, why do you do it? Because my mother thinks it's not funny. I went, we got to talk here. There's conflict. There's criticism. Have you ever noticed people on social media are mean? Have you ever said something like, man, it's a pretty day out today? Yeah, for you. You stink. Somebody said because Elon Musk bought Twitter, it's going to get worse. I don't know that scale exists. man, that is a tough place. I posted something the other day about how sweet Jesus is. A guy called me a Christian nationalist and all these kind of things. I had to look up half the other stuff. I messaged him and said, man, please quit doing this. You're scaring the children. You know it's true. I said, I didn't even know what you were talking about. I was actually part of a conspiracy I was unaware of. He said, fine. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for being in my wedding. And man, it'd be concerns. You ever figured out that there's a lot of months sometimes left at the end of the money? What are we going to do here? Doctor comes out and goes, this is all I can do. Sorry. Don't know what's left. There's concerns. There's crisis. Let me help you. If you haven't experienced these, maybe I can just refresh your memory. I mean, we've been through it for 2 years, haven't we? 2.5 years. A lot of change, a lot of unexpected, a lot of change we didn't get to vote on. A lot of conflict. I should have sold T-shirts. I started to in 2020. I was going to sell a T-shirt that said, here's 2020 in a nutshell. Everybody's right and nobody's listening. That was it, wasn't it? That was 2020, right? Everybody was an expert, and nobody was an expert. Everybody knew, and nobody knew everything, and nobody was listening. They just yelling at each other. It's like cable news had come to wherever you lived at. This criticism, to be criticized, to be shamed. There are whole apps and industries out there to help people who post pictures to make themselves look better. It's so bad now. It's so bad that watch groups have gone after some of the social media people because they are just so messing with the minds of young ladies, in particular young men. Concerns. What money you had ain't worth as much as it was January 1 as it is today. Some of you that are into investing in retirement, you just watched it all go away. You don't know where it went, but it in there. There's concerns. There's crisis. Pick your crisis. Ukraine, Russia, oil. Again, flip on the cable news where I do my physical therapy at. One screen's got CNN, the other screen's got Fox News. I don't know which America I'm living in, but those people don't believe in either one. And I watch it with one eye, and I'm going, man, this women, we're in a flat-out mess. If one of these five C's hasn't greeted you, then look out. For us personally, we got all our money's worth in 1 year, in 12 months. In one year, I went from pneumonia to stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma, to 4 kinds of chemo for 210 days a month, a radiation, and about the time we were in starting the end of chemo and then getting to radiation, COVID came. So we learned how to walk and how to do all kind of things again in that first year. I got to, and we walked through that. So hopefully I punched my 5C ticket for a little while. Nod your head if you hope the preacher's done with that for a minute or two. And so we did all those kind of things, and we are here, and none of those were planned. Say, preacher, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Jesus speaks here. Jesus speaks. He speaks to people who are really troubled. He speaks to people who are really in a mess. And he says something to them. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, I am gentle and kind. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Whatever the first two verses say, I'm interested because I need that third verse. I desperately want rest for me. I need it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by the five C's. I'm overwhelmed by life. I'm overwhelmed by my own mistakes. I'm overwhelmed by my own sinfulness. I'm overwhelmed at the thought that one day I will stand in front of the judge of the universe and give an account, and I don't know how to get there to him. I don't know how to live in a world that's all messed up. I don't know how to live as a messed up person, a sinful person in a sinful world. How in the world am I going to find rest? Let me just ask you my last question here, and I'll just give you the notes here. Look right at me. How many of you love to? Man, you'd love to find rest for your souls. You love to share rest with somebody else. Whatever's going on, he gives it to you. He's got an invitation for us there. He says he saw them. If you go back a few verses, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. I mentioned this in our midweek service here. Being called a sheep in the Bible is never a compliment. Anybody here grew up in the South? I said this last question, just nod at me. Anybody here grew up in the South? If someone looks at you and says, bless your heart, is that a positive or a negative? That there is a negative. That's a very kind way of saying, you big dummy. Jesus says, you are sheep without a shepherd. Sheep will eat poison. Sheep will walk off a cliff. Sheep will get caught in a bunch of brambles and briars, and then they get scared, and they'll bleat, and they'll actually alert a predator that they're there. It's like free food, free money, and just alerting the other folks that are out there. And so when he says, you're sheep without a shepherd, he's saying, you're just walking around miserable. By the way, you never felt... What's going on in life? You tried the pills, they didn't work. You tried the bottle, they didn't work. You tried people, they didn't work. You tried hobbies, they didn't work. You tried community service, they didn't work. And you are coming to the end, or you've tried being religious and good and still struggling. Man, I got wet once upon a time. It didn't do me any good. And he offers this. He says to all people here, and this is to all people, there's the rest of following Christ. Come to me, follow me, follow after me, all of these things. And he qualifies it here. He says for these things. He's got four words there. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me walk you through that. He uses the word labor there. It's the idea of people that are fainting from weariness. You ever seen anybody with a heat stroke or dehydrate? It's terrifying, isn't it? It's a little hard to figure out if they're having a heart attack or something like that. And they may accompany it, and they get all white and ashen. They get pale and ashen. They get cold and clammy, and they sit down, and you're scared to death, right? You rush from the hospital. One of the first things they do is hook you up to a saline drip is because they're assuming that at some point you have dehydrated if it's your exhibiting thing. And that's the most beneficial thing for you. When he says you're fainted there, it's the idea that they're on their last gasp. They don't know. They're disoriented. They'll do that. By the way, a sheep will eat anything. People get online, man, they just, whatever. It's if it's the top result in a Google thing, they'll just try it, right? I'm just scared to death for our generation coming up because they believe everything's on TikTok. And I'm like, look, it's got a catchy tune, but you shouldn't eat the Tide Pod. I don't care what they say. That's not a good idea. Not a good idea. You can't get a free T-shirt walking into Disney half naked there. They're going to kick you out, and you're going to lose your ticket. Don't believe everything that's there. The word labor. Have you ever figured out? Some of you with this background or in your family, you ever figured out why people keep drinking? It's because one drink used to satisfy, now it takes two, now it takes three, now it takes four. That's labor. It just starts wearing you out. It takes more, it takes more, and it takes more. I counseled with a young lady one time, then I brought somebody in with me once I found out what's going on. She was up to multiple partners a day, trying to fix the hole in her life, basically figured out she'd been abused as a child and was so warped in her thinking about human sexuality. She cried. Beautiful young lady. Cried, what's wrong with me? Nothing satisfies. That's labor. It's labor to be ground down. He says, you're heavy laden. You're heavy laden. I used to like to let my kids ride on my back growing up, when they were growing up, not when I was growing up. And then one of them would jump on me, and I'd throw them off, and two of them would jump on me. And I knew the last day I was going to do that, when both of them were on me and kicking as hard as they could, and my belly was just inches off the ground and was all I could do to get them off of me. I knew that was the last time we played that game. because I was going to have to go see the chiropractor the next day because they had won and wore me out, and they were getting too big and all, getting too big. And I knew I was in trouble when my son hit me and kind of halfway tackled me. And he says, "You doing okay, Dad?" We're not playing this game anymore. I got more money than you. That's the only leverage I've got. And we're here. We're here. Just completely weighed down and burdened. It's a graphic picture, isn't it? All you that labor and are heavy laden. There's an implication that's there, and the implication is you're overwhelmed. You're burned out. See, the endless pursuit of the unattainable is trying to get right with God on your own terms. The endless pursuit of the unattainable is constantly doing that. I've said it before. Some of the most miserable people in all the world sit on church seats because they're desperately trying to get right with God through self-righteousness instead of the righteousness that Christ provides. Notice the word there. If you got your paper out, you can highlight it or circle it. If you got your Bible out, maybe you want to highlight the word. He says, "And I will give you rest. I will give you rest." One of the joys I have as a Christian counselor is saying, "Man, you really helped me." And I go, "No, I didn't help you. The Lord wants to help you. The Lord can satisfy the need that's in your heart. The Lord is one who that. The Lord is one who cares about you." You ever done this before? You ever started telling somebody something going on and they start backing up? Is there anything more off-putting than that? The only other thing, I don't have my phone on me. The only other thing is you're talking to somebody about something serious and they pull out their phone and they check it. That is the 20 universal sign of, "I no longer care about what you're saying. I don't care about saying. I'm gonna get arrested because next person does that, I'm about fed up with it. I'm just going to knock it out of their hands." On the other hand, "Would anybody come bail me out if I do that? You know, for assault." All right, I'm more of you than eat donuts said you'd do that. And we're here. I try and keep paper with me. Somebody says something, I try and pull out writing because writing it down is a universal sign that you're interested. And I am. Jesus has never taken a step back from you. Jesus has never gone. Jesus has never rolled his eyes at you. Never. Jesus has never gone, "That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard." Jesus has never been wearied with what wearies you. He's gentle. He is kind. He says, "Rest." See, your greatest need is not to have a better job. It's not to have less change. It's not to have a little bit less conflict. Excuse me. Your greatest need is your sin need. Life doesn't make sense because you're a sinful person in a sinful world. And you're headed to a sinful destination. And Jesus said, "It doesn't have to be that way. I came to help you. All of you that are burdened." And again, he's talking to these Jewish folks who have been trying to keep the law. And they've been trying to do that. It's like going to Olive Garden and ordering the big Italian feast. And you're wearing a white shirt. Man, you're just begging for trouble. Absolutely begging for trouble. Because there'll be that little red dot somewhere. And you're trying to walk through a sinful world and do the best you can, but the problem is it's coming out of you because the Bible said that we are all conceived in sin. We are all by nature sinners. We've broken God's law. And so he says, "Rest." You know, the best thing you could do is get honest about you and your sin. The best thing you could do if you've never followed Christ is say, "Lord, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to do that. I am tired of running from you. I'm tired of rebelling against you. I'm tired of trying to be as good as you are because you're not going to make it. There is none righteous, no, not one." We've all missed the mark. We've all missed the mark. Two or three Saturdays ago, 100,000 people in the stadium and millions more on TV held their breath as the kicker got up and punted with the ugliest punts in the world. And it went like in slow motion. And it cleared. And the two refs looked at each other. And they threw their hands up in the air. And all of a sudden, those goalposts were headed to the river. And they've actually got a GPS location on Google Maps now. You can go find them. You can walk out there. I'm surprised there's not somebody down there selling maps. Here, come see where they are now. And those kind of things. When you're here, you're trying desperately, 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 and it is not enough. Jesus says to you, when someone came to Christ, I've heard it said over and over again. It's like the weight of the world was lifted from their shoulders. I believe there's a secondary application here. If you're still with me, there's to folks who follow Christ, there's rest from stress. There's rest from stress. You can have stress a number of different ways. It can be from suffering. It can be from sickness. It can be from unanticipated things. It can be from other people's sin. It can be from your own sin. Let me address just a couple of them with you if I could. There's stress from being disobedient to God. When you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, man, you're just inviting God's correction. You're inviting God's chastening. When you're out of God's will, when you're away from God, man, there's all kind of problems that are there. I'm amazed at folks, man, I stop reading my Bible and I stop praying and I'm not faithful to church anymore and all these kind of things, and I don't understand all this stuff going on in my life. That's how it's supposed to work. R.G. Lee, the famous pastor of Bellevue Baptist Temple, said it like this: you cannot sin and win. The game is rigged against you. The best thing you could do is, Lord, I've been running from you. Maybe you got hurt somewhere, and I'm so sorry for that. But, man, it's time to engage. It's time to get in. It's time to find a place to go and a people to do life with and groups to get involved in, a place to serve. It's time to do those things because it is stressful to run from Jesus. I love how he puts it, talking to the prodigal. You can come home again. You can come home again. The gentle and lowly Jesus won't smirk at you. The gentle and lowly Jesus won't roll his eyes at you. His heart toward sinners is for you to come back, you to come home. He'll kill the fatted calf. He'll make the party. Jesus is waiting. It's the only picture in the scripture where you see God the Father pick up his garment so he doesn't trip, and you see the picture. God runs toward the errant boy. Say, I've done too much. He's gentle and lowly. He's gentle and kind. He doesn't smirk. He won't lecture. He won't remind you how bad you messed it up. Is there anything worse than having your hat in your hand and coming somewhere and you get scolded for doing the right thing? God doesn't scold. God doesn't scold. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You still with me? I got it. It's about 5 or 6 minutes. You still with me? Say amen. He says, take my yoke upon you there. Pardon me. Take my yoke. Yoke typically was made out of wood. If you were depending on how wealthy you were, you might have one made out of iron. Sorry to say steel, but out of iron, or it might be a mixture. It was unbelievably heavy. Two oxen typically would carry it, maybe a horse, but or a couple of horses. But it was this. Again, if you're wealthy enough, you had a team of oxen, but it was unbelievably strong. Here's the thing. You're about to go under, struggling so hard. And Jesus says, here's something incredibly heavy, one of the heaviest things they could thought of. You put that on. Now, for every man in here who's ever been walking around with a diaper bag, and all of a sudden somebody handed you more stuff, you're like, ugh. Or you've been to Disney or Universal or Carowinds or something like that, and, you know, the fair, at the end of the day, you're walking around going, man, if some wind blow real hard, I'd fall down. Maybe you figured out, we're going to lose the car, we're going to lose the house, I've lost my job, they're downsizing. Maybe you went and had the test and you're waiting 2 or 3 days, and I can't do one more thing. My wife used to greet me at the door with one of our babies and say, I am done parenting for 30 minutes. You're in charge. And I went, I don't have a vote, and she was already gone. We understand this. Why in the world would he say this? Take more on you. Simply because it's not built for one, it's built for two. The yoke is built for two. Jesus is in the yoke with you. Jesus is in the yoke with you. You've seen a little kid trying to help you with a heavy load sometimes. You kind of laugh because they're not doing much, maybe getting in the way. And sometimes we think, man, I'm helping Jesus. Jesus has got it all handled. He invites you in. He can bear your burdens. He can bear your stresses. He took care of your sins. Doing life with him is far easier than doing life without him. You are not meant to do it alone. You are meant to start in worship on your face before God. You are meant to say, Jesus, I need you. It starts at salvation. It starts at repentance. And it continues on. There's stress. There's stress from not living under the lordship of Christ. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to raise the children? Who do you want me to marry? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? He ends with this thing. He says, take my yoke upon you Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Exchange his yoke for your yoke. Exchange his yoke for your yoke. Exchange his burden for your burden. Exchange his priorities for your priorities. Some of the hottest tears and most relief when somebody finally gets right with God. Stop running. Life changes for them. Let me help you. I can go around this room. Some of you, that's your testimony. You tried it and tried it and tried it, and what seemed like the worst thing was the best thing. And surrender has turned into great blessing. And you go, man, well, I was confirmed as a kid. I'm thrilled for you. I was somebody wet me. Somebody got me wet. I'm thrilled for you. Baptism for believers. Excuse me. Confirmations for after. Some of those kind of things are after you've confessed your sins, put your faith and trust in him. You want real freedom and release, man. Exchange all the things that have got their hooks into you. We stopped a few years. We were somewhere the other day. With Riley, and a turnaround was 11. It was 11:30, and we were the only people within eyeshot who weren't smashed, who weren't already in the bag. And I go, man, it's 11:30 in the morning, and these folks can't walk straight. What in the world's going on? You know what they're doing? They just brought another yoke on. They didn't lose anything. They just took on more. Exchange your burdens. God cares about what's bothering you a whole lot more than you care about it. He cares about your kids, your family, your job, your situation. He cares about your physical need, your spiritual, and exchange his priority for your priority. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put God first. Put God first. Some of you have tried that. You're trying that in your family. You're trying that in your life. You're trying that in your home. Seek first him. Seek first the kingdom of God. He gets the first. Somebody said it like this. He ought to get the first day. He ought to get the first minutes of every day. He ought to get the first day every week. He ought to get the first cut of every paycheck. And he ought to get first right of refusal in every decision. Put him first. Live under his lordship. Live under his lordship. One of our kids was asking me something, and they said, you know, what's different now? What's different? I said, well, my parenting's different now. I'm trying to help you make great decisions. You're not always going to listen to me, but I got all those T-shirts. I've messed up all those times. And if you just listen, maybe I can save you some heartache. Save you some heartache. I told another one, I said, I'm not your competition, man. I'm your cheerleader. I'm your cheerleader. We understand that as parents and step-parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, we understand. Let me help you. I can do you a lot better than that. Jesus wants you to do well a whole lot more than I do. A whole lot more than anybody in your life that loves you. He's told you how to live your marriage. He's told you how to live your life. He's told you what your priorities ought to be. And there is the least stress in a life is lived under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he ends there. He says, take my yoke upon you, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest. You'll find rest. There's a great Southern gospel song. It was sung. It was entitled Hello Mama. We actually had the man who wrote the song come and sing it here some years back, named Squire Parsons. It's an autobiographical song. He said, I called to tell you all those tears you shed for me, they were not in vain. Tonight, Mama, on the side of a lonely, dusty road, basically, he said, I was under conviction. He pulled off the side of the road, gave his heart to Jesus, drove to a gas station, found a payphone some years ago, dialed his mom, let her know, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running. There's rest. There's rest. He doesn't say problem-free. He just says he'll be with you. He doesn't say stress-free. He didn't say that. Rest. Rest. I can trust him. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Proximity to Jesus is the restful life. Distance from Jesus is a stressful life. Everything can change. Everything can change in an instant. Inflation may increase. Excuse me. Things may get worse internationally. Whatever happens, I can be assured that it's okay because I am close to Jesus in the yoke built for two, and it will be all right. It will be all right. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus said, and he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The one who never sinned took your sin on him. Became sin for us. All the awful, terrible things you would ever do, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like to tell our folks, your great need is not to go to heaven when you die, and that's just a nice benefit. Your great need is to be right with God. Your great need is to be right with God. And what you and I could never do, what all those lambs and all those offerings and millions of sacrifices could never do, Jesus did. 6 hours one Friday when he went to the cross and he bled and he died for our sins, and he didn't stay dead, but he rose again. Say, why do we worship on a Sunday? Because it's Resurrection Sunday. And the God who rose from the dead can change your life and change everything about your life. If you're running from him, that's the invitation to stress. Don't do that. Stop. Stop. Find proximity. Be close to Christ. If you've never asked Christ, you never confessed him, you never followed him as Lord and Savior, today's your day. If you've got questions, we'll answer them, answer whatever it is. But today's the day to trust him. If you've been following him, today's the day to keep following him and rejoice. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Finding rest in a stressful world. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed just for a moment. Nobody's looking around. Our church, we give an opportunity for folks to respond. We don't put anybody on the spot or anything like that. We pause. We hear the word and we respond to the word. We hear the word and we respond. Forrest is playing softly on the piano. Such a great day. Invite your neighbor, love on your friends. We're thankful. Maybe I just described your month. Maybe I described your year, your week. Maybe one day is good and 2 days are terrible. How do I handle life? How do I find rest? Maybe you've been running from God so long, this has become normal. But God loved you so much, he put somebody in your life. Maybe a spouse, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, a neighbor. God's gently entreated you. Kindly. Said, aren't you tired living that way? Wouldn't you like to find some rest? Wouldn't you like to find some rest? I invite you to do that this morning. Nobody's looking around. I just want to know how to pray for you. Again, I'm not going to get to everybody or see every hand. But this is more for you and the Lord, to be honest with you. You say, Pastor Rodney, thank you. What you talked about this morning, that's me. That's me. And I need to trust Christ. I'm ready to follow him. I'm ready to commit to him. God's been dealing with me, and this morning I just confirmed it. That's my decision. I want to follow Christ.